Genesis chapter number 1. Young people, I want you to follow along, and I'm going to call on you to read some verses. Genesis chapter number 1. Let's see verse number 3. Milani, can you read verse number 3 nice and loud? Stand up if you would. Genesis 1, read verse number 3. Amen. Good reading. So God dispensed light, right? And now it's gone. We don't have it anymore. No, it isn't gone. We still have it. So again, what we were talking about last week. So God dispenses light, and that light is still here. We still have it. That's considered a dispensation. In other words, God dispensed it, He distributed it out, and now we have light. But that's not a division. Now read verse number 4, Milani, if you would. Stand and read verse number 4. And God did what? God divided what He dispensed. So there's the understanding right in the beginning of the Bible. God now is dividing what He dispensed. And we see that principle throughout the Bible. So making a distinction between dispensations and divisions will help us. For example, God dispensed the law to what nation? Israel. That was about God dispensing something out. It wasn't about God dividing anything out. It was about Him dispensing something, distributing something to His people. We are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we get saved, God dispenses upon all of us what? The Holy Spirit, right? That's about God dispensing to us something. It's not about God dividing. And that's important to understand. I think we do. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. This will be your memory verse, young ones. This will be your memory verse for next Sunday, for this week. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And Dominic, if you could stand and read that nice and loud and clear once you get there. 2 Timothy 2, 15.
Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Right. Rightly what? Dividing. What is it, everyone? Rightly dividing. So if there's right division, then that by default means there can be wrong division. And this is why we're going to be spending the next 7 or 8 lessons after this one. These are dispensation and division, defining it biblically, is our foundation. And then we're going to get into about 7 or 8 lessons on all of these divisions that are dispensed through the Bible and get an understanding of all of them. But there are divisions and we have to recognize them. And if we don't recognize these divisions in the Bible, we'll start either stealing promises that don't belong to us, or we'll start making a covenant ours when it isn't ours, and all that type of thing. So we understand that there must be right division. Now go to 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians 10, and Hannah, can you stand? 1 Corinthians 10. And can you read verses 31 and 32? 1 Corinthians 10, 31 and 32.
Whether therefore you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God.
Very good, very good. So we have firstly, in verse number 32, we have the who? The Jews. Secondly, we have who? The Gentiles. And thirdly, we have what? The church of God. Okay, this is utmost importance. The Jew never becomes the church. A Gentile can never become a Jew. Now, all you young people, come on up here. Come on up here in the middle. Come up in the middle. Right here in the middle here. So we have three distinct divisions right here up in the middle. So, okay. We have three distinct divisions. What are they? Name them.
Jews.
The Jews,
Gentiles.
The Gentiles, and what? And the Church of God. Okay, so you all are going to be Jews for the sake of this lesson. So come on over here. You're the Jews. Come on over here. Melanie and Aiden and Hannah. You're the Jews. Okay, Aiden, you're over here. And you three are the Gentiles. Are they the same group? 1 Corinthians 10 clearly tells us we have the Jews over here divided out from the Gentile dogs over here. We have the clean versus the unclean. Remember that went through Leviticus and how that ties up? God ties those loose ends up in Acts and all that. So we went through all that. So you got the Jews over here, you got Gentiles over here. Now, do the Jews and the Gentiles come together into the church of God if they get saved? They do. Okay, so you guys, come on back into the middle. Walk towards each other. Get into the middle. The Jews and the Gentiles now coming together into the church of God. Now, is that the way it looks, how we just did it? Is that really what it is? It might be a confusing until I do the actual object lesson. But, okay, let me ask this way. Do Jews and Gentiles, when they get saved, do they become part of the church of God? They do. They do. However, it doesn't work the way that we just saw it. So Jews go back to your spot. Gentiles go back to your spot. They're separate. Nathan, you're over there. You have the Jews, one group. Gentiles, the other group. Now watch. Trampas got saved. And now he's part of the church of God. Tara gets saved. She's part of the church of God. So you two stand up right where you are. So now we have three distinct groups. Jews are over here. Move over here just a little bit more so you can see the distinction. These are the Jews over here. These are the Gentiles over here, a distinct group. So these Jews and Gentiles don't come together this way. Come on over here, back in the middle. Come on over here, guys. The Jews and the Gentiles don't do this. They don't come together like this. Okay, go back to where you are, Jews. Go back to where you are, Gentiles. The Jews and the Gentiles, who are separate and distinct groups, do this. Come on over here to this third group. Come on over here. Okay? Come on over. Come on behind Tara and Trampas. Okay, go ahead. They're in a third group. Jews, Gentiles, Church of God. The Jews and Gentiles are not coming together like this. They're coming together all the way over to a separate divided entity called the Church of God. Does that make sense? All right, very good. All right, you may have a seat. So we got to get that. Because our next seven lessons are going to be, it's going to be vitally important that you understand the difference between the Jew, the Gentile, and then the Church of God. Who were the Jews? God's chosen physical race of people. A flesh and blood physical race of people. They were descendants of whom? Abraham, very good. Was Abraham a Gentile or a Jew? Yeah, right. It's a trick question. Because up until Genesis 12, there was no Hebrew nation. At that point they weren't even called Jews. It comes from the word tribe of Judah, and that name ends up showing up later. But anyway, for the sake of understanding this lesson, we don't have a Jewish, we don't have a Hebrew nation until God calls out Abraham. So before God calls out Abraham, what do we have? Well, everybody's a Gentile. Abraham's the only guy that can double dip. So God calls that physical nation out. They were supposed to be distinct. They're called out, and they were a separate people. It was a physical race of people. Amen. Everybody got that, right? Do Gentiles have any physical bloodline now to Abraham? A physical bloodline? We don't. We don't. We have no physical bloodline through Abraham. Or you would be a Jew. So you can't be both. You're going to be one or the other. You're either going to be a Jew or you're going to be a Gentile, but you can't be both. Abraham's the only guy that can say he was both at one time. So what is the church of God? Is it made up of the physical bloodline of Abraham? Or is it made up of a spiritual bloodline? It's made up of a spiritual bloodline. 1 John 1 says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So if you were physically born a Jew, John 3, Jesus says, you must be born again. If you were physically born a Gentile, Jesus says, you must be born again. So just like God called out Abraham from all of the other nations, all those Gentile nations, there was a lot of them. And so God calls Abraham out of that nation to be a distinct and separate physical people. Now God calls all men everywhere, hey, are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? Are you a sinner? I'm calling you out of darkness, and now I'm calling you to myself to be a separate and distinct people, a spiritual people. The Jews and the Gentiles were physical races of people based on physical bloodlines. If you breed animals, you know this. If you breed cattle, if you breed horses, if you breed dogs, you understand you're looking for bloodlines. That's not the church of God. God divides out a spiritual people, and now we have what we are in, a body that's called a church. Amen. Go to Matthew 16, and we'll have Wilder. When you get that verse, I want you to stand up and read it nice and loud. Matthew 16. Matthew chapter number 16. Stand up, Wilder, once you get that verse. Matthew 16, verse 18, I want you to read nice and loud. Now, who said that, everybody? Jesus spoke that. Now, watch what he says. You fill in the blanks. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Emphasize the word will. And upon this rock, I will build my church. When Jesus said it, was the church built? It wasn't. When Jesus said it, he's saying, I will do something. I will build my church. That's a promise. He's building it right now, by the way. He'll continue to do so. But Jesus speaks these words, and the words that he speaks at the time that he spoke them was in reference to a church that hasn't yet been built. Did he purchase it with his blood? Well, he didn't shed any blood when he said that. So it's a future reference. So there was a time in history when there was no New Testament church. That's a dividing line. There was no New Testament church when Jesus spoke this. And during Jesus' earthly ministry, by the way, there was no New Testament church. Well, Jesus was there. Yeah, there was a church. There's always been a called out assembly of people that worship God. There's always been that. But it wasn't the New Testament church, because he didn't shed his blood, he didn't die on the cross, he didn't rise from the dead. None of that had happened. So, if Jesus, during Jesus' earthly ministry, if the church didn't exist, and he says he's going to build it, did Israel exist? Did the nation of Israel exist? That was called out in Genesis 12, right? Dividing line. So why can't the church be Israel? And why can't Israel be the church? Well, Jesus says he's going to build something. It hasn't yet been built. Well, Israel has already been established, so therefore the two can't be the same. There's divisions that must be understood. Jew over here, Gentile over here, Church of God over there. Going back to Matthew chapter number 14, some people say, and you may have heard this, I've heard it before, said by Christians and preachers, that, well, the Baptist church started with John the Baptist. And that could not be true biblically, because in John chapter number 14, look at verse number 3, "For Herod had laid hold on John and bound him and put him in prison." So two chapters before Jesus says he's going to build his church, we find John the Baptist is now captive in prison. Go down to verse number 8. He says, Herod's daughter says, and she, being before instructed of her mother, said, "Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger." And the king was sorry, nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. So John's in prison. Herod's daughter wants him to be beheaded. And he says in verse number 10, "And he sent and beheaded John in the prison." Man, he gets his head cut off in prison. "And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother." Well, that's a horrible way to go. Why couldn't the Baptist church have started with John the Baptist? Because he was dead before Jesus even said he was going to build the church. John the Baptist dies in Matthew chapter 14. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, he makes the promise, "I will build my church." Future tense, we just looked at that. Well, it couldn't have started with John the Baptist. He's already dead. And it didn't start when Jesus was during his earthly ministry. It started after he rose from the dead and he breathed the Holy Ghost and it came upon people. Now we have a New Testament church. Make sense? Has there always been a church? Has there always been a called out assembly? There's been a church in the wilderness. We see that, right? What was that? I mean, you can say it's an Old Testament church, or the Bible, the Old Testament calls it, I think the New Testament references it as what? The church in the wilderness. That was the wilderness church. It wasn't the New Testament church. A church is simply a called out assembly. We are part of a New Testament church that was purchased by Jesus Christ. And go to Acts 7 and get Deuteronomy 8 as well. Acts 7 and Deuteronomy 8. Acts chapter 7. Let's all of us read this together. Verse 38, all of us. Acts 7, 38. Ready? "This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us." Well, we weren't with Moses, and we weren't part of this church in the wilderness. Was anybody there for that? We can read about it. It was a called out assembly that worshiped God, okay? It's true, it was there. But it isn't, that was a Jewish assembly for Jewish people who followed a Jewish prophet, Moses. It wasn't for Gentiles, by the way. Jew, Gentile, separate. And it wasn't for a church of God. Wasn't there yet. Wasn't there yet. All right, go to Deuteronomy 8. So when we divide out the Jew, the Gentile, and the church of God, we have to understand that our callings are different. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. Lily, I want you to read verse number 7. Deuteronomy chapter 8. You're going to read verse 7. Wilder, you're going to read verse 8. Josiah, you're going to read verse 9. So while the three of you stand up together and you get yourself ready, one will read right after the other. Lily, go ahead. Very good, very good. What word do we see in each and every verse? Call out the answer if you've got it. Land. You see that? God calling, the calling of Abraham was about a physical piece of real estate. Land. And that land, you all may be seated, great reading, had brooks of water and wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and honey and pomegranates. Man, I'd go for some pomegranate juice right now. Well, bless God, I'm going to get healthy. I'm going to go and I'm going to buy a $9, 8-ounce bottle of pomegranate juice. And I'm going to drink that juice, man, and I'm going to heal my body physically. Look, it is definitely going to give you more nutritional value than drinking Tennessee sweet tea, amen. There's no doubt about that. But God didn't promise you that if you drink pomegranate juice every morning, that your physical ailments are going to be healed. Is God the great healer? Yes. Do we pray for people to be healed from their physical ailments? Yes. But God doesn't have, by the name of Jesus, I heal you. He doesn't, those instantaneous sign miracles, they're not happening right now. Will God heal? Yes. We're praying now for many people that God would use vessels down here to help heal people up. God can heal. We've seen this miraculous healing of God, but not in the sense of instantaneous sign miracles. Jewish nations, on the other hand, they were promised physical health if they obeyed what God told them to do. They were promised that. And they had very long lives and they prospered in the land. That is Israel. It isn't us. It's not us. Our calling is a different calling. The calling of the church it isn't a piece of real estate called the United States of America. It's not. The piece of real estate we are promised is spiritual and it's heaven. It's seated in heavenly places. Our calling is different, folks. And we have to divide that out so that we don't start mixing things that aren't for us. Hebrews 3 says we are partakers of the heavenly calling. You have a calling in your life. It's a heavenly calling. I can't promise you health, wealth, and prosperity. But if you're part of the church of God, I can promise you that you have a heavenly calling. And no one can take that promise away from you.
Amen.
This is the church house, folks. It's not the church. We have not land. We own no buildings. We created a carnal document, a carnal legal document that will pass away and corrupt, that allows us, that can allow us to own things here on earth. But that's not the church. You'll never see a church deed signed by Jesus Christ. It's going to be signed by a bunch of deacons or pastors or church leaders. Jesus Christ doesn't own it. Not the land. I mean, he made it. So you could say that. But you know what I'm talking about? They say someone comes on our property and says, well, you can't be here. Why? Because Jesus owns this. Well, show me that legally. You can't. But does he own his church?
Yes.
Did he purchase us?
Amen.
Does anybody own us except the Lord? Nobody owns us except the Lord. We're blessed to be able to do this and have this and congregate and worship, but our real estate is heavenly real estate. I hope that made sense. So, this is why our church is not set up like a government to try to govern the world. Because we don't have a physical calling of real estate, we have a heavenly calling of real estate. So we're not trying to take over the earth. And when we try to take over the earth, that's Jewish thinking, that's dominion theology, by the way. Dominion theology doesn't understand the divisions of the Bible between the church and Israel. Our calling is heavenly, our home is heavenly. So let me ask you a question. Where are you laying up your treasure, Hannah? Where are you laying up your treasure, Josiah Wilder? Where are you laying up your treasure? In heavenly places? Milani? Aiden? Lily? You laying up all your treasures in your piggy bank here on earth? You had a heavenly calling. I hope you're making some spiritual deposits. It's a difference. It's a division. It's a division. Our blessings are different. So first, let me, everybody say this. Our calling is different. Next, we're going to understand, go to James 2, our blessings are different. James chapter number 2. Dominic, can you stand up and read verse 5, James 2? When you get it, James 2, verse number 5. Yes, sir.
Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and the heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?
Everybody see that? Read that once again.
Hearken, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor?
Hold on, the who?
Of this world.
The who?
The poor.
What is that, everybody? Nice and loud. Who is that? The who?
The poor.
The poor of this world. Keep reading, Dominic.
Rich in
houses? Rich in cars? Rich with Bentleys and Corvettes and
private jets?
Eric, pass the plate around. I'm feeling the Lord wants me to have a private jet, amen.
Wow,
That's right, brother. I'll fly away, amen. No, we can make that preach. Look, you can make anything preach. It doesn't mean it's Bible. It just means someone's got a satanic persuasive personality is what all that stuff is. Look, we are rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He hath promised to them that loved Him. What kingdom are we promised? The kingdom of heaven, which is physical for the Jews, or the kingdom of God, which is in heavenly places, it's within us? Which one?
God.
The kingdom of God, amen. The kingdom of God. So our calling and our blessings here are different. The Jews received what type of blessings? That's right. Material, physical blessings. Land, livestock, and living quarters. You know what we offer? A poor old beggar. A poor old sinner. Begging for eternal life. And he receives a heavenly home that lasts for eternity. Isn't that much better than offering a temporal piece of land here, real estate? Go into the richest neighborhood in Cookeville. It's temporary. Not staying there forever. I'm telling you, our calling is different. It's so much better. It'd be great to have a beautiful temple, but God says, instead, He says this, having food and raiment, therewith be content. I'd love to have a beautiful cathedral. I'd love to have an ornate temple. And God says, how about you just be content with the food and raiment that you have and just kind of go on. You got a heavenly place. We have a different calling. And materialism, it's wicked. And all of these prosperity teachers, they don't understand the difference between Israel and the church, and they take promises that were given to Israel, and they say that you are owed that, and they come up with this false, heretical, damnable doctrine of the prosperity gospel. We're not here to own land. We've got something much better. Go to Mark 10. Mark chapter 10. Melanie, I would like you to get ready to read Mark 10. I would like you to read Mark 10, Melanie, verse 21. Hannah, I'd like you to read verses 22 and 23. And then all of us are going to read together verses 24 and 25. All right, Melanie, you can start us off, Mark 10, 21.
Possessions. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God?
And the disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answereth again and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. So look, the Jews had laws, they had the covenants, they had the promises. Paul had a physical bloodline. All Jews have a physical bloodline. But we are talking about treasures in heaven and a spiritual kingdom of God. That's where we should be laying things up. One more verse and then we'll close out and then we'll pick up where we started where we left off next week. There's a few more verses, but then we are going to get into next week the division or the dispensation of innocence. We're going to get into that next week, but before we get into that next week, we're going to finish out some notes I have here that are important. But let's finish with Ephesians 2, and then we'll close out. Ephesians 2, we're a little bit over. Ephesians 2, look at verse number 11. Ephesians 2, verse number 11 and 12. Let's all read this together. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. So the Jews had the law, they had the covenants, they had the promises. Ephesians 2 says, well, the Gentile didn't have any of that. They're without hope. You can clearly see that division and that separation there. Now, you think about if you live back then and you're a Gentile, and you're still receiving earthly blessings. I mean, we receive them now, don't we? I mean, we're praying for rain for the crop. And the wicked farmer's going to get rain just like the just farmer, right? So, but you imagine being a Gentile back then, and you're receiving physical promises. You may even know there's a God. You may even believe there's a God. But you can't pinpoint why. And so you're living with that. You're receiving blessings and you're living with that and you can't pinpoint why. I'm telling you, that's what this world is like. Especially America. We're so rich and prosperous. Why? We can't pinpoint why. Because God is so good. And I'm telling you, once someone moves out of being a Gentile or a Jew and they get regenerated and they're placed into the church of God, now they've got real answers. And that's the idea of understanding these divisions. Remember, Ephesians 1:3, we're right there. Let's read that and we'll close. Let's all read Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Are you in Christ? You got all the blessings you need. Thank you.